Luke 15, verse 7. I can't find a comfortable place. When I got up, I didn't realize I was like in this mess, and I put my feet in the floor and I just screamed.
I willingly did all of Ollie's normal morning work, but I wasn't gonna go look for debris.
No, that was that's when I can't do it. That's Mr. Bojo's job.
We discussed it. He said no.
No, he does a damn fine job of it. Yeah. Yeah, you can see him out there picking up all the crap.
I think the wind blew all right over to Dewey Trailer. Waste of water.
I didn't think so.
I say unto you, verse 7, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which needeth no repentance. Let's look at one scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now this phrase, repentance not to be repented of, means that there is a permanence if you see repentance correctly. And that permanence is the recognition of your death. And it's a total death. It's a death that from that point forward is a repentance that knows that everything about you and everything that made you you, all your past and all your future, all your emotions and all your thoughts are repented of. It's godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And the godly sorrow is the seeing of the emptiness and futility of human life from the standpoint of God. Repentance not to be repented of. And that has to be the predicate that we see and understand. Otherwise, you are in the position of constantly opposing yourself. And it's a internal war that never ends. As you talk about, you repent. It seems to be if you repent 100,000 times a day almost. It's continuous. Because that's not the godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. It may be a step towards it, but it is not the repentance of God. The repentance of God is manifested in Jesus Christ. As Son of Man, he pushed everything as Son of Man and saw its emptiness and vanity. He pushed all of the possibilities that he had as Son of Man. Emptiness, vanity, puff of smoke from God's perspective. So when he hears repentance, led him to baptism. It wasn't until the time of his baptism, when he lived the so-called silent years, it wasn't until then, that time, when he saw the emptiness of everything, as Son of Man, that he repented. And then he called his disciples. He said, "You are they that continue with me in my temptation, my test. Because the repentance, his temptation has no place. It's not anywhere in human nature. Let's look at those and see if we can come to some understanding. Go to Luke 4. Does anybody want to comment on anything or that I just said? It's kind of big.
I have two things. This godly Saul, which is repenting from the eyes of the understanding and seeing God's position, is so different, it's not even likened to our personal repentance.
It's exactly the same. It has to be. Repentance not to be repented of.
I don't see it that way.
What? How do you see it? How do you see that scripture?
From God's point of view, repentance not to be repented of is different, and you said it yourself, than our repentance, which is, "Well, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I got caught." But that's not the same repentance as God sees repentance. I believe from his point of view, he sees the futility and worthlessness that man has brought on himself from the fall. Now, it takes,
and so do we. We have to see that. And then we repent.
But that's intuitive how God sees.
That's right. We have to see exactly as he sees. That's what right. To confess the Lord Jesus means.
That has more weight than this personal getting caught type of repentance. So there's a different...
No, I don't understand what that means. There's the soul. There's two kinds of repentance. There's repentance of the world, which leadeth to nothing. There's godly sorrow, which leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of.
Right, you just said it. There are two kinds.
That's okay, but the first kind is common to everybody. Everybody repents, and then they get caught, and that's just the human nature.
And that's not godly repentance.
No.
But there is a godly repentance, and it source is from God himself, and that there's sorrow there from him as to the state of man.
Yeah, but it has to be the sorrow that you experience in the midst of the repentance to see the emptiness. It's the sorrow I experienced when I saw my life had no meaning. It's the sorrow I experienced when I saw my life had no future. It's a sorry that I experienced when I spent all those years trying to prove it was wrong. I have to experience the same godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. And that's each one of us has to do that.
Right. That never really
but it must be, that baptism must be done in you to fulfill all righteousness also. That's why it's in the Bible.
Well, for him, it was because it was prophesied, it was foretold, it was the plan of God.
And it's the plan of God in you, and the plan of God in me. It's the same. Otherwise, we haven't been born again. It was everything.
I thought he was kind of saying, oh, we just have to do this, John. Go ahead, don't worry about it.
No, it was necessary to fulfill the prophecies of Daniel.
Right.
The 70 weeks. Well, let's go look at that. But before we go to, let's go to Daniel. Let's see what he said. Daniel 9. That's what we're going to talk. That's what we're going to show. Daniel.
Daniel 9?
Yep. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. His baptism was the fulfillment. Well, it's not the way to say that. His baptism was necessary for him to be able to fulfill all righteousness. Because as Son of Man, he used his mind to see it and come to the end. But as now, he saw the futility of it. The human race was not capable of becoming righteous.
Now, righteous means to be at peace with and association with God and oneness with God. And the word righteousness is, I think, my problem is of understanding that by this all happening, and it happened just through him. Now he's righteous, to fulfill righteousness.
He has the capacity now because he saw the end of all the activity of the human race, that it was nothing but vain and empty, a puff of smoke. So in his baptism, that Son of Man was buried, dead. It was the 42 weeks that it determined. Exactly 42 weeks from the time of his baptism to the time of his crucifixion. So the baptism made the possibility of him to fulfill all righteousness manifest. The same has to occur in us. It's as big as it gets. But look what he did. He finished the transgression. He made an end of sin. He made reconciliation for iniquity. He brought in everlasting righteousness. And he sealed the vision and the prophecy. He sealed it so that it can't be seen. It can't be known by man. Until that same thing happens in each person. You can study it, you can think about it, you can look at it, but you can't live it.
Until our baptism?
Until you can't begin, until you can't continue with his temptation until your death occurs.
Right.
And that death is total. There's no more use of the mind. It's faith alone. And this is momentous and rare. Now he, once that occurs, then his seed remaineth in you, and he can't sin, because if we don't say the resurrect, the evil one has been resurrected, then we're not fulfilling all righteousness, and we're not continuing with him in his resurrection. We're just making it air. Does that communicate? I mean, so your baptism is the biggest deal, the second biggest deal in your history. Because it puts you in the same position that Christ was at his baptism. This is what repentance means.
And walking by faith.
Then you're putting to the test. Your mind is being renewed. So you're not being conformed to this world in any way. Your mind is being renewed as you continue with him in the test, in his test. You are my disciples because you continue with me in my temptation, not yours. Your temptation has no home in human nature. His temptation has no home in human nature. You can't even conceive of it. That's why baptism is burial. But it's not just a symbolic burial, it's a true burial, because you see it as your death. You see that everything about you is in that grave. Now.
Some more than others.
Huh?
I know it's a total thing, but I just said some more than others. I'm just thinking about my own baptism and how it's been sort of a gradual realization rather than it was more because I wanted to keep parts of me alive.
Well, so do all of us, but that's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's why we're getting, again, that stupid thing that's the best thing I can think of, getting all the pepper out of the salt shaker. And you're the pepper. But can you see in this context how ridiculous this once saved, always saved is? It's comic book. But I sure piss people off when I make fun of them for that.
What does it mean in that context? I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Well, he will never leave us or forsake us, but you leave him. Every time you use your mind, you leave him. Every time you make judgments after your own senses, you leave him. Every time you're concerned with yourself in any way, you leave him.
He must feel really lonely at times.
No, he's not lonely. He's lonely in you or me until this incredible mystery is fulfilled in us as it was in him. The word has to be made flesh in you just like it was in him. Does this give you a little bit better understanding of repentance? Let's look and see what happened. Immediately after this, let's go. Now let's go to Luke 4, where we were.
Luke 4, verse
28. It was just baptized. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, that's what happens to us. It's just like you understand that everything that's going on has to go on in everything. I don't know how to say that any better, but in a parabolistic way, the flood was the baptism. But the baptism of fire is going to occur on the earth too.
Occur where?
The baptism of fire, because the earth is going to be consumed in fire. And everything in time and space is going to be consumed with fire, and it won't stand the test. So the earth was baptized at the flood, and now the earth is going to be baptized at the end. And only he can come through each one. That's why you must continue with him in his baptism of fire. And the only thing that will stand the baptism of fire is him. No part of you. But here, let's watch. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, if he had... The first test to use his mind was what was going on in him after the flesh. He was hungry. He was starving, in fact. And his mind, the evil one, said unto him, My God, look, I can make those stones into bread. But it didn't come from the Father. It came from his mind. You understand that? Second thing, then he said, And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So that means that if you look at that, it means he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, in that moment of time. And he said, And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He said, do you hear this? All the power in time and space had been delivered over to Satan by God, and Jesus didn't object to it. If it was true, he would have said, No, it's not.
No temptation.
Huh?
There wouldn't have been no weight.
Well, he passed part of the temptation at first.
Yeah.
He had the power to turn into bread. Now he had the power to, as we said it many times, he had the power to heal all. He had the power to resurrect all. He had the power to feed all. I mean, cure all, every all that we can think of. And Satan was getting, okay, just for a split second, just look at the good you can do. And he said, No, I'm about my Father's will only, and the Father's will is the bride. And worship there, he said, mainly, worship doesn't mean like fall down and worship, it just means give him importance. Thou shalt worship me, all this shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, again, you got to, do you understand that worship there is a verb? And it's the same kind of verb that all it means is give importance to. From God's perspective, that's who you worship. That's what you worship. It's what you give importance to. That's why if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see that test here? You would have loved the world because he could have changed the world for the better. This is big.
King of the world.
And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What does that mean? It means he was putting God to the test for the purposes of approving him, which is what the human race does constantly. We can't put God to the test. God puts us to the test. But the only test he's concerned with is the same test that Jesus had. That's his temptation. To shift your point of view to your family, to your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, or children, to yourself, to some goal, to some idea, to some plan. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. That means you have no investment in the outcome. And if you've taken a plan, then by definition you have an investment in the plan. And so whether it works or not concerns you. You can tell whether you have an investment. It's like, don't eat your children. What does it mean to eat the children? If you are gaining happiness and sustenance and satisfaction from their accomplishments, you're eating their children. Because by that definition, if they fail, you will feel sorrow. This, you see why the test of Christ has no home in human nature? That's why we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind in the same way as he was. Now this sounds like it's from another planet. It is from another planet. It is something that has nothing and no home in your nature. Let's go to 2 Timothy.
I'm kind of trying to break that down a little, and like, let's say human nature wants to love and be loved. And so the feelings of love are all cool and good, but if it's unrequited, then those feelings turn to hate. Human nature, but God's love doesn't do that, and it's not our nature to have agape love. We have something completely different.
But that's why we have to die.
But I mean, I'm just breaking it down. The mask is always there. The deception is at the doorstep.
Yeah, it's always to do. This is what you do.
Yeah.
Because it's all satisfying the fall. It's all enhancing. Even other people's accomplishments are enhancing yourself. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you know, to gain some kind of sustenance or satisfaction because the Cowboys win, what does that say? You're eating somebody else's flesh. We are to eat the flesh of the Son alone. We are to get worth from his blood alone. sustenance, satisfaction, worth, the bread and the wine. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bands or chains. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself, because the seed was finished. He can only produce what he is. He can't reproduce. We can produce like rabbits, what we are. And if we satisfy, and if we preach this message that this is how you become nice, and this is how you raise your children, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do that, and this is how you get elected, and everything in the world. You can have hundreds of thousands of followers, but it's meaningless. But can you see now a deeper meaning of repentance? Why it alone is the power of God. The cross is the only thing that produces repentance. And you've brought forth fruit worthy of repentance. Suitable for repentance means you've seen and you've brought forth in yourself and in others, you know the emptiness of what they're doing, even their most honorable accomplishments. That's why you can't give importance to anything in the world, because if you do, you are loving the world. And the love of the Father cannot be in you, because he's in you, but he's in prison, he's unseen in you. And there's nothing about you that the world would admire, because you've been crucified unto the world, and the world has been crucified unto you. That's the fruit of repentance. But the manifestation of that fruit is joy unspeakable. It's peace, no matter what the situation is. It's never, ever, ever taking yourself seriously.
That's something for me to repent of.
Well, stop repenting of these little things. Repent of you. Because the list reproduces itself. All it will be is more lists.
More little rabbits.
Yeah. Just communicate. Is anything about this that you don't understand?
I understand it. I don't like everything I hear.
I don't like it. I didn't like it either. Now I love it, because everything else I know is crap. If you don't like it, try to prove it wrong. And I promise you, I was pretty good at studying. I could not prove this wrong. Boy, how I tried. Well, how come you're the only one that preaches? I don't care if I was the only one in history that preached. I know it's true. Well, Well, let's negotiate. No. Because this is what I think. I don't give a rat's ass what you think, and I care less what I think. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. It's either right or wrong. And if you think I'm wrong, then show me. God, help me, show me. But don't show me by your opinion, show me by the book. Amen? Any comments, John? Understand? You like it? Join the club. There's nothing about the gospel that man likes. Yeah. How well I know that. Take it, big guy.